If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Here's Bob Bertog, the president of Bertog Landscape Company in Wheeling. Bob, welcome back as always. Thanks for your help today.
Hey, John, how are you? How's your week?
Pretty good. I do have a Bertog Landscaping hat. And
can't wear it backwards. Cannot wear it backwards.
Thank you, sir. Hey, how about that 82 degrees, 80, 78, depending on where you are? Wasn't that crazy yesterday?
It was, and the rain today is definitely a help. But we're still below normal for the rain for the month of October.
I was glad, though, that the ground, I thought, was more porous because it was so warm and any rain we'd get would soak in good, you know?
Yeah, it was definitely, the warm temperatures were nice.
Any advice for us then? Because I was planning on watering my trees a little more still. Any general advice?
I would encourage that, especially the trees and shrubs. The turf can go dormant, and that'll be fine. It'll overwinter just fine, but especially evergreens, because they continue to breathe all winter, where the deciduous trees will shut down.
No, that's interesting.
And then the evergreens, though, if you want to make sure they get a good soaking before we start getting some freezing temperatures.
Because then you're not going to water things for months, right? Like December, January, February, March, you probably aren't going to water them at all, right?
That's correct. But we also tell people now, you can get sod. Now everybody calls about laying sod. You got to make sure that gets watered really well. And if we do have a dry winter and we get some warm days, you might actually have to get some water out there on that grass.
Well, I guess if it's, you do get those spells of 40 degrees or so throughout the year. As long as the ground's warm enough to absorb it, there's no harm in putting water down, right?
That's correct.
My wife noticed that the hostas weren't placed just so and suggested that maybe we could move some of them around. Should we do that in the spring or can we still do that, Bob?
There's still time to do that now for the hostas especially. They're such durable plants.
Yeah.
You're not going to hurt them.
And what would be a good shovel for her to use when she does this?
The shovel she's going to call John.
Okay, 312-981-7200. You've got a question about your landscaping, your lawn. I guess with the weather as good as it is, it's still not too late to put some applications down, right, Bob?
Well, the turf's not going to respond well to much of a chemical application now, but you can still fertilize you can still put the fertilizer down, but it's going to overwinter and going to be used for spring green up. And then trees and shrubs are still uptaking a lot of nutrients, so you can definitely fertilize trees and shrubs.
Really? Do you put something down on the surface, or do you use those plant sticks that go down?
Well, we use a deep root injection that's done, you know, it's mixed with water.
A deep root injection. Yeah. So there's like a spear that goes down and it shoots it down where the roots are?
Right. It looks like a root feeder.
Well, I guess I could get one of those too, or I could hire you. But I mean, the idea is wherever the roots are, you want to get the food there.
Right. You want to do it around the what we call the drip line, which is if you're looking at the tree, it's where the canopy, the outer edge of the canopy, that's called the drip line.
Kind of weird, though. I mean, if I sprinkle that stuff on the lawn around the drip line, it's got a long way to go to get all the way down to the roots, right?
No, you'd be surprised. You're going to see roots, a lot of roots at the surface, especially like, you know, maple trees. They have fibrous roots very close to the surface.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. So maybe an application. So, well, that's encouraging for those of us that are watering trees, because I think I got to put thousands of gallons of water here to get it down where the root ball is or the roots are. Maybe not so much, huh?
Well, it's not going to hurt to put it deeper, but the roots that are most active are closer to the surface. That's why you always have a hard time growing grass under trees, not only because of the shade, but because the tree is winning the war of taking the nutrients in the water.
Hmm. Could have saved me a lot of money on my water bill if you'd mentioned that, I don't know, maybe June, July, something like that, Bertog?
It didn't hurt anything. It'll be fine.
Please ask Bob what he would use to treat a grub infestation, says Dave and Carrie.
The grubs are really bad this time of year because we had so many dry spells during the summer. So if you had irrigation, you probably have grubs. You want to put down a fast-acting insecticide and something, you know, Dilox is the most popular, and just look for something with that active ingredient that you find in Dilox. Dilox is kind of like using the word Kleenex.
Okay.
There's a million brands. So, but Dilux is definitely readily available.
Wait, is Dilux the brand name, or is that the chemical I need to look for?
It's both, actually. Somebody has branded it as Dilux, the same way they've branded Kleenex.
I see.
But there's actually the active ingredient within Dilux. There's a couple of different things you can use. Something fast-acting.
815 says, I've got two boxwoods in urns. How can I best overwinter them?
Put them in the ground.
Yeah, well, I guess some people like it in a planter thing, and that way they can move it around or whatever.
Yeah, well, if you can put it like in a three-season room, maybe do that. But if you leave it outside, odds are good. If it's just in an urn or a pot, it's probably going to freeze.
I have a chinch bug in my lawn. They have decimated a large area. How do you treat that and when?
Well, they're pretty much done feeding for the season. Typically, they like to go after droughty areas. So something that hasn't been watered is very popular for them. So you want to definitely start next season in let's say May, early June, start to put down a preventative insecticide because they do overwinter and they do populate quickly and they devastate lawns quickly.
We get this question every week, especially this time of year. I don't mind. Here it is again. Please ask Bob Bertog if it's good for the lawn to just mulch the leaves this fall with your mower or should I bag them?
I'm from the school of bagging them. Some people will tell you it's okay to mulch them. You can do that if the leaves are dry. You don't want to try and mulch them when they're wet. And if you don't let more than a quarter of an inch accumulate at the base of the grass plant.
You know what I did the other day, Bob? I went to the store and bought some grass seed. Brenda said, what are you doing going to the store and buying grass seed? I said, because I want to plant some grass seed. Anyway, the skunks have pulled so many of the critters out of my lawn. I don't know what they're digging up, but I got all these little holes. I thought, I don't need an aerator. We've got skunks. So then I just sprinkle the grass seed in where all the little holes are. How about that, Bob?
Well, if you have skunks and they're digging up your grass, you probably have grubs.
Yeah.
But I'd first take care of the grub problem.
I didn't do that. So what do I do with the grubs now that I got the grass seed and all the grub holes?
Well, treat with an insecticide that we just talked about, something like Dilox, and then you can go ahead and still put down the seed, but that window is closing very quickly for it to germinate. Unless you put down a seed blanket, which would go over the seeded area, that'll give you another week or two of extended time for the seed to germinate.
I not only put down a seed blanket, I put down a seed teddy bear. Okay, Paul, you're on WGN. What can we do for you? You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Yeah.
I have a question. I've got some little scrub trees, you know, that started out. Like two of them are now 30 feet tall and they're maples in my backyard. But before these become permanent fixtures, I want to like cut them off at the base. And is that stump killer effective that you just kind of brush on? Or should I go a different route? How's the best way to kill those stumps so they don't grow up and become permanent fixtures?
What you described is exactly how you would do it. You just cut them at the base. And then put a, are they connected to a live tree, though? Or are they shooting off the roots?
They're separate trees.
If they're separate, yeah, then just cut them and put a herbicide on them, and then it's going to keep trying to come back, but eventually you'll win the war.
Okay. Will I have to do a continually putting applications on it, or just if I have a new growth, I want to hit it again with the herbicide?
Yeah, probably after one season, you shouldn't see any more coming back.
What's the herbicide you like on that, Bob?
I would just use any non-selective herbicide, like a Roundup or something similar.
Okay, Paul.
Okay. Very good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I know what you're going after, though, because I got these shoots coming up off the roots of a tree in my yard, and I've been fighting that good fight all year long. I get down on my hands and knees with my clippers, and I clip them, and I want to put something on there like Roundup to just kill them for good, and you won't let me do that.
No, because then if it's coming off the roots, you don't want to do that because that will translocate into the...
Why the hell do they do that, Bob? Those are the most annoying, twisty, hard-to-fight things. I hate them.
They're called water sprouts, and they need food, too.
Okay, no, they don't. They need to go away. And am I doing something wrong? Like, when I got them beat, and then I put mulch on there, and I thought, that'll teach them. They'll never see this, the light of day again. Pfft, here they come.
Yeah, they'll find their way around. They're more prominent in the spring, but you just got to keep whacking back at them.
Marianne, you're on WGN with Bob. How can we help you?
Hi, gentlemen. Basically, I have a lawn guy, and now it's been like 3 weeks since he's come. And so my grass is about 4 inches tall, and I'm wondering, should I try to find somebody else who can cut the grass? Although the forecast for the next 6 days looks like it's rain, you know, or just leave it for the winter.
Is it a problem if it's long like that, Bob?
Yes. You don't want to leave your grass at 4 inches. You want it to get it down to 2, but now the fact that several weeks has gone by, you're going to have to do this in a couple of different times. You're going to have to shade, you know, maybe take off an inch and a half the first time, and then cut it again in a week, and then keep lowering it down to get it down to 2 to 2.5 inches.
Why can't you just do it all in one big whack?
Well, because the grass is still active right now. We haven't had a hard freeze. If we would have had a hard frost or freeze, then I'd say that's okay.
Okay.
But it's still active, so it's still storing carbohydrates for the winter. And then if you go and whack down the, like you, to use your phrase, whack it down now, you're going to, the grass is going to say, hey, what are you doing? You know, more than half of my plant is water. Now you just took that away from me. It could stress it out right before winter, and that would be a bad way to start the spring.
Bob, plants don't talk. Hey, Marianne. Marianne,
yes?
Where's your guy?
Yes?
What's the deal?
I don't know. I mean, he usually, the end of October, it's the end, and I heard he knows several people in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So it's his side business, and I'm hoping he's healthy. You know, he hasn't answered the phone. He, you know, you leave a message, and so I don't know. And, you know, he's usually very reliable, but now I'm worried about, you know, like I said, it's grown almost to the point where I think I need goats.
All right.
That's
well, good luck
good.
To you, Marianne. I appreciate your call. I hope Bob is able to help. Dan, you're on WGN. How can we help you, Dan? You're on the air.
Oh, hi. I've got a sugar maple. It's about a foot in diameter, and big sections of it are dying off. Maybe a quarter of it, a big branch by big branch, maybe an 8-inch branch. It's maybe a quarter dead right now. Is it something in the ground or something attacking the leaves? And throughout the neighborhood, I see the same thing going on with the same tree.
Where do you live? Where do you live?
I live in Carroll Stream.
Wow. Wow. Bobby, what are your thoughts?
If you look at the trunk of the tree, the side where the dead branch is, if it seems flat, where it's not, you know, it's lost its roundness, it could be a sign of girdling roots, and especially the fact that it's about a foot in diameter. That's right about when you really start seeing trees stressed out. In order to really find out, you'd have to have an arborist come out, and they would do what's called an air spade, where they basically expose the root zone, and they'll be able to tell you whether or not the tree is actually strangling itself with girdling roots. But with the symptoms you're describing, it sounds like girdling roots to me.
Okay, Dan, good luck to you. Yeah, more than once, Bob has just said you got to get a tree guy. You got to get an arborist out there to look at it. And I hate to see the trees go, especially a pretty one.
Right.
And by the way, if you're an ugly tree, we're happy for you too. Unless you're a cottonwood, then we want you to go away forever.
Right.
All right, Bob, you need to go away for today. Will you join us again next week?
I certainly will. Looking forward to it.
With the weather the way it is these days, we'll take Bob's advice.